You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope,
you can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are.
And welcome, everybody, to another On the Sly. Rob Brender alongside Jim Fox. Jim, it's been a while. How are you? How's everything?
Doing great, Rob. Thanks very much. Thanks for joining us again, and thanks for taking the lead. And we got some interesting things to talk about, it seems like.
We most certainly do. There was an incident that occurred on Tuesday that we want to get into because it sets up an interesting conversation about the relationship between the media and players, especially in the NHL, and specifically in the NHL. I want to set the background just a tiny, tiny bit. Jim Matheson is a longtime reporter. He's covered the Edmonton Oilers going back to their inception in the WHA in 1973. So he's been around a very long time, Hockey Hall of Fame reporter. He was at the media availability for the Oilers on Tuesday when Leon Draisaitl, their superstar winger, one of the great players in the league, was up answering questions. Hear his how that interaction went between the media and Leon Draisaitl.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
Well, I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Jim, what's your take on the way things went between Matheson and Draisaitl?
Well, it's certainly something that we really don't want to happen. I think there's a lot of contributing factors in this situation. Understandable is the frustration of the player. The reaction of Jim, who I've known for a long, long time. I've known him since I've been in the NHL in 1980. I think he was clearly upset with the lack of what he felt was a lack of response, lack of whether he felt it was on purpose or not. It seemed like he did because Jim was, it seemed that he was pointing out the fact that perhaps this is not the first time that this type of answer has been there. Again, I'm just reading into it. Because it was kind of, this is how you know, why are you this way with me, is what Jim was asking. So there seems to be a little bit of a history there between the player and the writer. I understand the frustration of players. I understand the frustration of media. Trying to get your stories. For me, as a TV broadcaster analyst, I don't really have to get things every day. I'm there at most practices. I'm trying to get stuff and compiling, and I have a long list of things that I use. If I don't use them one game, I might use it 2 months down the road because I've logged it into a note file that I have. But I don't have that pressure of a writer that needs something every single day. So perhaps the way things are going in Edmonton, media and Jim felt he was not getting that, wasn't getting that cooperation, wasn't getting the necessary minimum cooperation from a player. Now, if just showing up for a press conference is what the minimum is, then he did get that. If it's a little bit more, he didn't. I think in the exchange, if there is a trigger point when it became personal, I believe it's when Draisaitl said, you know, why don't you, and you know all, you know everything. And that's the trigger point to me. Now, we're all adults here, so we don't have to say, who started it? Hey, who started? Well, Draisaitl did start at least that the confrontational part of that exchange between Jim Matheson and Leon. And then you could see how clearly Jim took it personally. And he went back at it. And then I think he asked the final question he asked, was, in my opinion, the only question that he was really trying to get a response of an agitated person and trying to create a story, which again, media should not do. I think that's where Jim went off the rails a little bit, was when he started to ask about, you know, his reactions. It's a legitimate question, maybe not in that circumstance, but it's legitimate to ask, Leon, you're showing your frustrations in games. Do you think it's good for the other team to see that? That is the only dated question I think that Jim asked there. I know I've been reading on Twitter and various reports that he was trying to get Draisaitl to say it's goaltending. It's goaltending and we don't have good goaltending and that's why we're losing. You know, I don't believe that that first question, one of the early questions that Jim asked was, can you put one thing that you think this group needs to do? So that's a summary of what's going on. I'm assuming that Jim would have taken, I'm being Leon Draisaitl here. Well, it's up to me to pull my weight. And I think we're trying to do that as much as possible. The forwards are not doing a good enough job. And just, you know, usually you talk about something that involves you directly and you don't throw anyone else under the bus. I think that's what Jim was looking for. Just some type of response, or it's the penalty kill has to get better, or our forecheck is not strong enough, or our defensive zone coverage just has to really get something like that. Something with a little bit of specificity. I think that would have helped there. But the shot across the bow was thrown and shot off first by Draisaitl.
And I was going to ask you that, and I think you may have answered it, but I want to ask this again. The idea of a player sitting in the media conference, does he have a responsibility to answer more thoroughly? Or is it okay, especially when you know his team isn't playing well, for him to just say one-word answers, essentially, no, or I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, so I'm just going to give a two- or three-word answer. We all need to get better. Is that fair?
As far as the responsibility of the player in a media conference, no, I don't think he has any more responsibility than showing up. And then he should be judged on how he performs in that setting or how he plays or how professional he is in that setting.
When you're in that spot, though, especially when your team isn't playing well. And again, Jim pointed out,
that's when you show your character.
Because Jim did say to him, are you angry? And Leon said, no, I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. And right. So you got the answers of a frustrated player. You, as you said, he made it personal. We'll get to that in one second.
He made it personal. That's the deal. That's the deal. Draisaitl made it personal.
Is it fair then for Jim to respond by saying, are you pissy though? That seemed like fair, it was.
Fair is okay. And you do respond any way you want. It's not professional for, I believe, again, Jim Matheson is a true professional. I've known him for years. I've known him only there to get the story, never to create the story. Unfortunately, in this situation, he became part of the story, which I'm sure he probably did not want to do going in. There are certain media outlets that want to be that type. I do not believe Jim is that type. And I don't care if the other types want to do it, if they want to be whatever. When it first started, shock jock was the thing that came out. You know, you want to shock someone and you're part of the news. And Jim's not like that. There are people that do that. And fine, I have no problem with them doing that. That's their shtick. That's their way of getting earning a living. I have no problem with that. Jim is not like that. He ended up being inserted into that story and he inserted himself again by the last question he asked, I believe, which was very frustrating for him after he was ticked off, really going at Draisaitl on his on ice. You know, the way he reacted and behavior on ice in the Ottawa game where he said, you were showing frustration. We all know as professional athletes, you should never show frustration because it only gives the other team added impetus to say, okay, we're doing our job because sure. If Draisaitl's frustrated, we're doing our job. And it just spurs you on to do it even more.
Of course.
So that's where it is there. It's, The responsibility of the athlete is, again, whatever he, but, and in that context, in a media conference, I don't believe anyone's thinking what I'm about to say, but if we are to bring it down to the almighty dollar, hockey generated revenue, which everyone wants to increase. The media do help in that area. More specific, the easy one is broadcast fees and rights fees, right? So you pay TV, radio pay, and that goes into a pool and that gets shared by everyone, including the players.
Sure.
Jim's a writer, so he really doesn't necessarily fit into that. But again, his stories create interest, you know, so you can argue it's part of the bigger picture. That's what you would hope. We would all hope that everyone understands that they're just trying to do their jobs. And in the long run, if we do our jobs together, the chances of increasing the exposure for the National Hockey League is better. Now, this creates a lot of exposure, right? We're talking about it. So it brings attention to, and again, I think Jim did get himself into that. He went and he lost control for a moment. I think I would assume it's one of the few times he's ever done that, but he did.
Sure.
And I think he was going after Dreisaitl with the last question, as opposed to trying to get an answer. He was going after him.
Yep.
And again, that was spurred on by the original comments of Dreisaitl. But responsibility of the athlete, that's up to him. Again, and I've been there a million times. I've been there on the ice. I've been there in the booth. When things are going great, anyone can do the job. When things are not going great, that's when and I've lost my temper many times. I've lost, you know, I'd like to meet the person that hasn't. But that's, you know.
And especially when they're seeing each other all the time. And I'm sure Jim is around that team. And we don't know what their relationship is.
The big difference here, Rob, is this. This is the big difference. The big difference is this. There's no longer locker room access because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring a person out. If that exchange would have taken place in a locker room on a one-on-one or off to the side, and I've heard many reports from many media people and players since this incident saying that, oh, that's happened to me many times before. And we hashed it out and we yelled at each other. And the next day we shook hands, we got back. That doesn't exist right now. That face-to-face, yes, in a media conference, but not in the locker room where you can go around and talk to everyone and, hey, off the record, Leon, but, you know, and if he trusts you, he'll give you something. And that, you know, you kind of get through it, just not available right now. So that helped to exacerbate the situation. It helped. Again, I would have liked Jim to react differently. I would have liked Leon to react differently. But I think that's the big difference right now. There is less of a chance to sort things out and settle things out and settle things down now. Because of you just don't have that personal relationship that you would normally have with a player because of the access. And that access is no one's fault other than following protocols that we have to do through COVID.
That's a really great point. When it came to your career, you mentioned you've lost your temper at times. Did you ever have an incident similar to this when you're having an interaction with media where you have a relationship, a longstanding relationship with the beat reporters who were around the Kings at that time with you, where, you know, if things just aren't going well on the ice and they wrote something on a repeated basis that you didn't like, would you ever bring it out with them or anything that happened in public?
Nothing like that ever happened, I don't believe. I think that, again, when you have the reporters there on a daily basis, you can talk those things out. I don't think I had a confrontation with someone wrote or said, you know, usually when it's not factual, and that happens more and more nowadays, right? That really does happen more and more nowadays because you get someone, for instance, specifically on Twitter, making a statement, which is paraphrasing and lacking context, that is picked up by someone else who then comments on something that probably didn't happen the way they thought it happened. And then all of a sudden you have the snowball rolling down the hill and it's a big, big, big snowball by the end. And it really starts. So those things are happening more so now than they did before. You know, in the past it was, you know, you try to steer the reporter into an area that, you know, you give them your answer. No, I don't think it's that. I think it's this. No, it's not the power play. It's the penalty kill, whatever you want to say. Never had that. I'll be honest. I remember talking late, great Stu Nahan, who ended up being a great, great friend of mine here. Just a great guy to be around. But I think it was back in the, you know, early, mid 80s, and we were really struggling. And, you know, if you can, this is what I said. I imagine the job I'm in now for 30 plus years. They wanted to come down and do like a 6:15 interview, you know, for a 7:30 game. And it was, I mean, right now I'd be saying, you have to do that. It's a must. And I was saying, you know what? I didn't say it to Stu. It was just, he was the person who was coming down to do it. And it was like, I said to our PR guy, I said, you know, maybe we should be focusing on different things at this time. And that's a little bit too close to game time. And, you know, I don't know if we should be doing that type of stuff. So there was never ever confrontation, but I thought the format could have been changed. Now where I sit and I would say that's just a excuse for coming up with for an excuse with something and not addressing a situation. Answer the question, you know, just answer the question and go from there. And that's it. But I didn't have anyone that I was upset with. I know the late Brian Murray in Ottawa. He was the general manager at the time, and I was on the air with the Kings. There was a kind of a mini brawl at the end of a game, and Brian was coach and GM. He was coaching at the time on the bench, and he was yelling at players. I believe he was yelling at players from the bench, which I said I disagreed with in harsher terms than that. I made a personal comment. I did about Brian on the air, and it was, I think it had truth to it. I'd experienced it as a player, him yelling at players from the bench when I was playing. I experienced it that night when he was yelling at players from the bench when I was a broadcaster. And again, I think most coaches don't do that. I think it's something that if you're in the fight, if you're on the ice, you get a chance to participate in that type of stuff. If you're not, you keep your thoughts to yourself. That was then transferred on to Brian. And by the time I got downstairs, he was in my face and he was right on me. And he was, man, it was close to being physical. And, and it was captured. All the media that were down there were waiting for him. And so they captured it. That was more also though of a team versus team issue, meaning I'm the broadcaster for the Kings. He's the coach of the Senators, as opposed to Jim Matheson representing a newspaper, which is completely, it's independent from the Oilers, but it's not, you're not confrontational, so to speak. You're not trying to take points from them. You're not trying to beat them in the standings, those types of things. So that's what I had there.
And that's fascinating because you've seen it from both perspectives, and very few people have unless you broadcast it after you've played. And so you had something happen, although, as you said, it's a slightly different circumstance, but where somebody involved with the team comes at you as a broadcaster, and you've had the opposite where maybe reporters were grilling you at some point, although you said it wasn't really a major issue throughout your career, but you've seen it from both sides. And so I think you have the great perspective on what it's like to answer the questions and to ask the questions, though slightly different again from what Jim Matheson went through. One other thing I wanted to ask you, Wayne Gretzky, I heard bring this up. I was listening to SiriusXM NHL Network Radio earlier this morning, and they had Gretzky on as a guest. And Gretzky, of course, has been interviewed by Jim Matheson however many times, countless amount of times when he was a player in Edmonton, and probably many times after that. And Gretzky, in talking about this incident, brought up the fact that Jim Matheson is actually a huge Oilers fan as well. Now, he's in the Edmonton market. It's a small city, obviously. It's nothing like Los Angeles. And so you're in that small town, and he just happened to grow up an Oilers fan and loves the team. Do you think that may cloud judgment at all as a reporter? And again, you have more of a relationship with Jim Matheson than I do. I don't have any relationship with him. Where if you have a reporter who's a fan, he's actually maybe frustrated in general by what's going on when the team isn't losing. And I'm not asking necessarily about this specific incident, but is it understandable or is it fair to have a reporter who's a fan ask questions with that in mind?
Now, this is an example of what we were just talking about. I'm going to give an answer based on something I have not heard from Wayne Gretzky. I'm making the assumption you explained it correctly, but maybe the context is not there. So all I would say is this, I would assume Wayne's definition of fan was not, I'm pom-pom waving and I'm hoping for this. I think it's just a reporter in a local market hoping that the team in his market does well, because the usually when the team does well, more people read your articles. And, you know, the further they go in the playoffs, then you get into playoffs and all of a sudden everyone's listening and everyone's watching and everyone's reading. And that just makes it better for everyone. And being, you know, living in that city for such a long period of time, I'm sure Jim's like that. I don't think he is cheering for the team. Again, in that context, their definition of fan. Again, I could be wrong. Wayne knows him way better than I do, but I would assume that. I know many people in the local market here who've done local news and sports for years. Of course they want the teams to do well. Again, it gets them coverage. And then when you get to the playoffs, that's when coverage and ratings and everything go up. And so everyone's happy. And that's what I think you're hoping for. I think there also is the difference between national and local. For instance, I cover the Kings. I'm a local broadcaster. I'm not a national broadcaster. And I hope to bring that perspective with, again, there's always that balance of objectivity. And you want to make sure you're getting things factual. But I know that there's no doubt in my mind, every single game I go to, I hope the Kings win. Now, does that make me a fan? That would be okay. I don't think it's my job to be a fan. I think it's my job to bring the player's perspective as much as possible. But when Rasmus Kupari has a chance for a breakaway and I'm going, go, go, go on the air, that's probably an indication that I would like to see him go and do something and score. If you're a national broadcaster and you do that, you probably won't be a national broadcaster that long. And if I was on a national broadcast that night, I would not have done that. But you get caught up sometimes. And that was, so there are different things that, and I think that's what a lot of people who involve themselves in the sport industry, the sporting industry, they don't give that a lot of thought sometimes about what the specific job entails for a local versus a national broadcaster.
Fair enough. So just one last thing, and we'll wrap up this conversation. The idea you brought up actually earlier, which I think is a fascinating point about the lack of interpersonal communication between the players and the media now because of COVID and all the issues there, has led to all these Zoom press conferences and more of a distance between the players and the media. What kind of issues do you think comes from that?
Yeah, there are a lot of, again, just the inability to discuss things one-on-one. Every once in a while, there's a lot of times you go into a locker room and there's a scrum. But on the same day, 2 minutes earlier, 2 minutes later, you can actually say, oh, okay, yeah, Adrian, what happened on that face-off? And, you know, what's going on? And you get into some thing. I remember last year it happened with Mikey Anderson. He was beat, I think, by Nathan MacKinnon on a nice one-on-one move. And I went into the game and I on air and he got beat. And this is what happened. He lost his balance here. He didn't take the proper angle, all those types of things. You know? And then the next day, I sat down with him. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what, Jim, I was just coming on the ice off a change. So I didn't have the chance to get the gap control and get the angle I wanted because it ended up, and he didn't say bad change. He didn't want to throw anyone under the bus. It may have been a bad. Now, during my commentary, I didn't mention that. So again, you know, after a goal scored, there's 87 things that went right and 87 things that went wrong. And I've got 20 seconds to get it. So a lot of times you hit on a couple points. And you miss a lot. I miss that. But by sitting down, you know, he wasn't mad at all. He just explained to me what happened throughout the entire shift. And I think that gave me a better perspective of what actually happened. Again, do I feel I did my job correctly? I think I did. I only have 20 seconds to really go back and get it. And you have a couple of angles and replays. And so I missed the fact that he was just coming on the ice. And that's my fault. That's my mistake. He didn't call me out. He just discussed it with me.
Right.
He just talked about it. He gave me a bigger picture, you know, And I think that's something that's missing. Now what's happening more than ever in scrums, yes. Like my question could end up on the Channel 4 news, or it can end up in some person's blog somewhere, or some person's, you know, the insider, the King's Insider, Zach Dooley. He'll have an answer to my question without me being credited for it. That's the way it goes right now, because everyone's in a scrum, and we're very rarely, and everything's being recorded. Where, you know, with that Mikey Anderson conversation, I didn't record it. I was just taking it in as background information. Now, unfortunately, we don't have that opportunity. And maybe, you know, again, the Jim Matheson, Leon Draisaitl became a story within this story because of the format in which we handle things right now. We have to handle it this way. We have to have a group of players, you have to have one or two players up at the podium in a media conference setting, as opposed to sitting down beside him at his spot in the locker room and talking one-on-one and discussing and going over things. And now it's not recorded. And then sometimes, again, you can ask the player off the record. In a scrum right now, I can't ask Tom McClellan off the record. I just can't, because then he's trusting everyone in the room, because the chance of it being recorded is very, very high.
Yeah.
And so those are the little differences right now that are going on. And then it becomes a story that maybe in the past, those guys would have been talking at the side of a locker room. Might've got heated, might've got a little FU here and there, what's going on with, you know, might've gone back and forth. But I think a lot of times at the end of that, both parties come out with a better understanding of what the other person's trying to do. And we're losing a little bit of that now. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I hated to see, again, until the last question that Jim asked, I hated even the, you know, why are you so pissy with me?
Yeah.
Even that was okay. That I could live with that, because, you know, let's say, okay, Leon would say, well, Jim, the reason is this, because I feel as a writer, you have the ability to second guess everything the players do. You have an ability to sit at a desk and go over your story and edit it. And I'm on the ice and I have a decision to make once and I have to do it in a split, you know, just gives, you know, of course that would be a nice amicable response to a very confrontational situation. But he was hoping for more. So there's something there, right? There's something personal between those two guys, at least it appears that way. Now it came to the forefront and now it became public because it was recorded. And that may have happened years in the past, and we'd never, ever see it.
Yeah.
Never, ever see it. And we would never know there was something personal between the guys, because they would have cleared it up, got through it, or, you know, handled it in a different fashion. And I feel bad, because I saw it again, that last question. I know I'm repeating, but I think that's where I think he was baiting Draisaitl. The question about, that's the only time I think he was really baiting him. And that was, you know, on the ice, you showed your frustration. And is that good to show the other court, you know? And
yeah, Draisaitl's
answer there was probably the best answer he gave, because it was, you know, very, very sarcastic, right? Yes, right. Of course, it's good to do that. Yeah. Very sarcastic. And I could understand the sarcasm, because that question was, he was going after something there that he was trying to become. He was trying to make a story where I think he didn't have to, but frustrations got the best.
And it most certainly became a pretty big story, at least for a couple of days around the NHL. So I'm glad we got your perspective on this. This was great. And you're right, by the way, one last thing is we don't know what the background is. We don't know their relationship. That's one of those things that we will never know. And it, as you said, it couldn't get worked out in private between the two of them, yep, because we've lost that.
And it is different, Rob. It's different. It doesn't mean it. Hopefully you learn. I find that every coach that comes to the LA Kings, if they were in a Canadian market previous, they are more conservative than they were before they left the Canadian market. And that's because in Edmonton, you have the Edmonton Elks, which is the Canadian Football League team. You have the Oilers, you have the Oil Kings. I'm not familiar. I'm sure they have like lacrosse teams, and perhaps they have women hockey teams. but not covered on the same level as the Oilers. And then you take a little step down, and the Edmonton Oil Kings, the junior franchise, probably has a little bit. So that is everything.
Yep.
So LA, for instance, our market, we have the Lakers, we have the Dodgers, we have the Clippers, we have UCLA, we have USC, we have UC Riverside, we have UC Santa Barbara. It goes that far. You can go down to San Diego. You got it there. Fullerton, good baseball team. Long Beach, really good. What about high school sports? I got Bishop Montgomery down the street from me. They went to the, you know, number one a couple of years ago in basketball. I've got Modern Day. I've got Servite. All of this.
Yeah.
That they don't. So that's why maybe in that market, maybe there's a better chance of things becoming personal than there is in a market like Los Angeles.
No doubt. You are under the microscope 24/7 as a player in just about any Canadian market, but certainly in a small city.
Could have been handled better by both.
No question.
Could have been handled better by both.
And I think it's probably...
Who threw the first punch? Draisaitl?
Yeah.
But maybe there was a punch thrown 2 weeks ago that we didn't see, didn't hear.
Fair enough. And likely blown over by now, you would imagine, around the league. Jim, this was great. Appreciate it very much. And enjoy the next few games until we get to do this again.
Rob, my pleasure. Thanks very much.
That is Jim. I'm Rob. This was On the Sly. Thanks so very much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.